This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A bit later in the program, we'll talk with a journalist who was embedded with engineers in Iraq. But first, new data out this week from the Women's Health Initiative has many people scratching their heads. Perhaps you're one of them because it goes against nutritional advice that we have been hearing for years. Here's what happened. Researchers tracked the eating habits of nearly 50,000 postmenopausal women for 8 years. Now, about 40% of the women, that's called the intervention group, were asked to follow a diet low in fat, high in fruits, vegetables, and grains, all those good healthy things that we've been told we should be eating. The other women didn't change their eating habits at all. Now, the health of the women in both groups were tracked, and after 8 years, the researchers found that the women on the low-fat diet had the same risk of developing breast cancer, colon cancer, heart disease, and stroke as the group that ate whatever they wanted. In other words, according to this study at least, following a low-fat diet does not translate into health benefits. But before you grab that slice of cheesecake, hold on, because researchers say the study results don't mean you can start piling on the fat again. Joining me now to sort it all out are my guests. Both my guests took part in the study. Let me introduce them. Judith Shaw is a professor of medicine at George Washington University in Washington, D.C. She joins us from her office there. Thanks for being with us today, Dr. Shaw.
My pleasure.
You're welcome. Ross Prentice is a member of the Public Health Sciences Division at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center. He's also a professor of biostatistics at the University of Washington in Seattle. He joins us today from L.A. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Prentice.
Hi, Ira. Thanks for having us on.
You're welcome. Dr. Shaw, you know, the headlines, if you listened to the headlines all week, they were saying, hey, you know, you can eat anything you want to. Doesn't matter. True or false?
Well, we definitely don't want that to be the message that people are drawing from the study. I think one thing that there's several important messages to be drawn. One is that it's very important to do these randomized trials because they're the only way that you can really find out what works and what doesn't. Another thing to bear in mind with this study is that it was designed to find out if eating a low-fat diet would reduce the risk of breast cancer. And that's an area that actually Dr. Prentice is the best equipped to discuss. But because we're always promoting low-fat diets for heart disease prevention, we also investigated whether or not this prevented heart attack and stroke and found that this was not the case. Now, what actually happened was that the women who were in the intervention group reduced their saturated fat consumption from about 13% to about 8%, which is a good amount, and they had a modest reduction in their LDL, which is the bad cholesterol. It went from 133 to 123. So it did have a favorable effect, but I guess to me as a cardiologist, the take-home message is eating a healthful diet is important, but it's not the only thing that you need to do.
Mm-hmm. Ross Prentice, were you surprised by the results?
Of course, we were a little disappointed not to have clear positive results at this point in time. However, Ira, even though I think a lot of the reporting has been quite good, I believe the headlines have been misleading. So, whereas the press release from the National Institutes of Health started out, low-fat may reduce breast cancer risk and may not affect certain other diseases. That has mainly been picked up in reports in the media as low-fat may not prevent cancer, or in some cases, low-fat doesn't prevent cancer, or even stronger. And I'd also say, in relation to your introductory comments, that we do not see the study as going against nutritional advice that's been around for years. We studied a particular low-fat diet that didn't try to reduce calories. It attempted to reduce total fat and also to increase fruit and vegetables and grains. So it was a change of the composition of the diet. And as Dr. Shaw mentioned, our primary interest was breast cancer, and some of the motivating data, especially from international comparisons where disease rates vary greatly and correlated with the dietary fat habits in particular countries. Some of those same trends we saw for colorectal cancer as for breast cancer. So we also studied colorectal cancer. And then in preliminary studies of this particular low-fat eating pattern conducted in the 1980s under the National Cancer Institute auspices, we noted that there was some modest reduction in blood cholesterol. So coronary heart disease was added as a secondary outcome. But it's important for your listeners to realize that this was a study study primarily focusing on cancer reduction, and we actually see our most important results as quite encouraging there, even though not definitive. So as Dr. Shaw alluded, in breast cancer, we saw a 9% lower rate of breast cancer in the low-fat group versus the usual diet group. That is a favorable trend, which is not quite statistically significant, but it's actually quite consistent with our expectation going in when one takes account of the amount of dietary difference between the two groups.
But Dr. Prentice, you can't argue with the fact that about the results of the diet and pertaining not just to cancer but to the health of the participants, meaning that there was not a significant difference.
So we have to explain what significant difference means. It's statistically significant. So, for example, for breast cancer, we have a 9% lower rate in the low-fat group versus usual diet group, not quite statistically significant. If it had been 10%, that would have been statistically significant. So we're close to being able to assert a benefit for breast cancer, and that's why we're one of the reasons for additional 5 years of follow-up, which we hope will allow a stronger positive statement in due time.
Dr. Shah, do you understand the public's confusion with this study?
Absolutely. And in fact, in this week's circulation, there's a survey that was carried out to find out what obstacles are to women's embarking on healthful interventions. And actually, the number one cause was confusion about media reports. So this may be a classic example. I think that really the underlying message is for breast cancer prevention, for cardiovascular prevention, that it's not that diet is not important and not helpful, but it's not the only thing you need to do. So you need to be, attain your ideal body weight, exercise regularly, stop smoking, have your cholesterol, your blood pressure, and your, if you have diabetes, under good control. And as far as breast cancer prevention is concerned, it's been shown that for high-risk women that interventions like tamoxifen reduce the likelihood of breast cancer, and of course people should get appropriate cancer screening. So I think that the concept that if you eat a healthy diet, you don't need to worry about anything else is not correct. You need to do more.
Mm-hmm. Would it be possible and would it be prudent now to go into other long-term studies like, just off the top of my head, like the Framingham study, and look to see if the results there back up what this study says?
So I could respond, Ira, if you wish. So
sure.
One of the challenges in nutritional epidemiology and physical activity epidemiology are the measurement issues. So the usual types of studies we do, like the Framingham cohort study, rely very directly on the ability of individuals to accurately report their dietary habits. The fact that that is such a challenge, people report differently at two different points in time. Different groups of people may report differently depending on their body mass or ethnicity or other characteristics. That's actually one of the motivations for this type of expensive randomized controlled trial, an actual experiment where women were taught how to make and maintain a dietary change.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I know it's hard to go back and see, the control for food. People tell you all kinds of stuff when you ask them what they ate.
Right. And so this type of study design doesn't depend nearly so strongly on the dietary assessment data. So we have two groups that by design are equivalent at the beginning in their health risks, and we simply compare those two groups in terms of the disease incidence that occurs over the years of follow-up of the study.
If you were to design the study again today, because this is 8 years ago at least, right, would you do it differently? Would you measure different things? I mean, now we know more about trans fats. We didn't talk about them in those days, things like that. Would you try to look between the lines of different kinds of oils that they might have
been? I'll start, Judy, if it's okay, and you can add.
Sure.
So if the focus was still primarily on breast cancer prevention, I don't think we have a particularly better idea in terms of a dietary intervention. Of course, we think total calories consumed is likely quite important. Some combination of calories consumed and energy expended simply has to be important. That drives obesity, and all these are obesity-related diseases. If one was doing a study with a high priority on coronary heart disease and other cardiovascular diseases, as Dr. Shaw already mentioned, one would want to focus more specifically on saturated and trans fat reduction, where the epidemiologic data is quite strong.
Dr. Shaw?
Well, I think one thing to bear in mind is that the amount of reduction in the bad cholesterol that women got in our study was about 8%. And if you take the starting dose of a cholesterol-lowering drug, you can get 40 to 50% LDL reduction. So, you know, although diet is useful, and particularly in maintaining ideal body weight, which is a challenge to, you know, all of us and to America as a public health issue, that the amount of impact that you can have on some of these risk factors with lifestyle interventions and diet in particular is limited. And although
We've been hearing that for years from doctors who say your liver likes to make cholesterol. You know, you can cut it back a few percentage points, but your liver likes to do it. You'll need something else.
I think docs say that, but I think that patients, you know, patients vary obviously, but there's a great tendency to think that, well, if I was more assiduous in my diet, I could really, you know, be off these drugs. And in many cases, that's not true. You know, the drugs are of proven benefit in preventing heart attack, stroke, and death, which is more than we were able to demonstrate in this study. So that I'm a strong promoter of eating a diet that's low in saturated fat for cardiovascular prevention, but it is vital for people to keep their conventional risk factors under control by whatever means are necessary.
Mm-hmm. So if I could add, Ira, that it's important for your listeners to realize that, you know, this was a particular low-fat diet. There's other low-fat diets. There's many other important questions in dietary prevention of disease that might include calorie reduction and other modifications that haven't been subjected to this type of rigorous randomized controlled trial as yet.
Mm-hmm. I want to thank you both for taking time to talk with us today. Ross Prentice is a member of the Public Health Sciences Division at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center and also professor of biostatistics, University of Washington in Seattle. And Judith Shah is a professor of medicine at George Washington University in Washington. Thank you again for taking time to be with us.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
You're welcome. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and switch gears. And when I mean switch gears, we're going to talk about the Iraqi power grid and why it's suffering so badly and why there's still no electricity like we thought there might be after the war. Glenn Zorpet is here from the IEEE Spectrum and was embedded with the engineers there, watched them work and saw their struggles, and he'll relate them to you, and it's eye-opening. Stay with us. We'll be right back.